Are you tired of being told what to think and how to act? Well, you are not alone. In case you haven't realized it, you have an internal GPS. It knows all you need to know about how to live your life. So it's about time you stopped letting the media and the government tell you what is true for you. In fact, it is exactly that time. It's time to think for yourself. And here to make sure you're doing just that is your host, mediator, author, and lawyer, Carol Gold.
Hi, it's Wednesday, August 25th. I'm Carol Gold, and welcome to Think for Yourself. I'm going to step outside of the usual comfort zone and format of doing the show because I want to share with you my thoughts on Afghanistan. And the reason I'm doing that is because obviously the show is all about thinking for oneself. And I've been doing a lot of that on Afghanistan for two reasons. One, from a humanitarian standpoint, I almost can't sleep because of what's going on there. And two, because as a result of that, I have watched, listened, and read a great deal of information and news about the situation. And while normally on the show, I try to, while I have strong opinions about most things, but I present them on the podcast in a way that they are sort of couched in what's the highest good for all concerned and what's the good takeaway from the story. And maybe there'll be one at the end of this podcast as well. But for the moment, I feel so strongly about what I've concluded that I want to share it with you. Number one, on the off chance that you have not paid as much attention as I have. And number two, because if you have paid attention and you've drawn a different conclusion, perhaps some of what I will share will influence your thinking for yourself once you have what may be another side or another perspective. I want to start with something I said on a recent podcast, which is it doesn't take a military expert, it doesn't take a Rhodes Scholar, it doesn't even take a college graduate. I'm not even sure it takes a high school graduate to figure out that if you are in a dangerous part of the world and you have people that need protection and you have military there for that very purpose, you don't pull your military out first, you don't take your protection away first, and then hope that your people can fend for themselves. As far as I'm concerned, that's the very first stupid thing that was done by our government, pulling the military out. And we did that literally in the dark of night. We shut off the lights at the base at Bagram in Afghanistan, a base that is so easily defensible and almost impossible to overrun because it's in a remote area and it's like a fort. I believe the Russians built it originally. We left the airbase and we also left the embassy. So what happened? Well, as a result of literally walking out and shutting off the lights, we left $85 billion in U.S. aid that had gone to the Afghan army who had been working with us. We left 600,000 weapons, 75,000 vehicles, 200 aircraft, and I believe of the 200 aircraft, there are 40 Blackhawks, which are, of course, the most advanced helicopters in the world. So we have now turned a somewhat ragtag terrorist organization into a highly armed organization, made them an army with some of the most advanced equipment in the world. I left out night vision goggles. I left out also, or at least I didn't yet get to, the data, the top secret and confidential data that was left both at the airbase and also at our embassy. In fact, some of what was left were biometrics that the Afghans who worked with us and for us, who we literally paid a salary to from taxpayer dollars, the Afghans who worked with us as interpreters and guides had their irises and their fingerprints memorialized through biometrics so we could be certain who they were. We left that information for the Taliban. Now, the Taliban are not smart enough to use the technology that they have. They need more software to access the biometric data. But the Pakistanis have that. They have that software, and they will be more than happy to assist the Taliban in identifying which Afghans worked for us. Why is that important? Well, it's important because despite the absolute absurd propaganda and misinformation that we have heard from certain sources over the last 48, 72 hours, the Taliban are not seeking to be a peaceful administration of Afghanistan. They are coming in as an Islamic state deep in Sharia law. They will do to women what they've always done to women, keep them imprisoned in their homes, not allow them to hold public office. By the way, some of the people that are still trapped, and I want to get to that, are 200 female judges who, for the first time ever, were able to ascend to the judiciary in Afghanistan. And those 200 female judges put a lot of very dangerous and bad people away in prison in Afghanistan. The very first thing the Taliban did was open those prisons. So those really bad guys, terrorists and criminals that are now out, they've got a vendetta for those female judges for two reasons. One, they're female, and two, they put them away in jail. So those women are marked for death. Christians are marked for death. In fact, Christians are told, Christian converts from Islam, and there are 3,000 to 5,000 of them in Afghanistan. The Taliban has indicated that they will burn them alive when they find them. So they are going house to house and looking for the Christians. They are going house to house, looking for the interpreters and the guides. They are going house to house, looking for the female judges and women who were reporters, Afghan women who were reporters. So what we are about to witness, thanks to an absolutely inexplicable surrender by this president, and I find that to be a treasonous act, I find that to be dereliction of duty, I find that to be impeachable, although he won't be because he's got a Democratic Congress. What they have done is allow the Taliban to identify who they can slaughter. Now, in addition to that, all the Americans aren't out. And the reason that this is so true and evident on its face is that whether you're listening to Jen Psaki, who is the press secretary for the White House, or whether you are listening to Anthony Blinken, who is an incompetent secretary of state, an inept secretary of state, whether you are listening to General Milley, I don't care who you're listening to, they don't say the same thing from one press conference to the next. On August the 18th, I believe it was, George Stephanopoulos interviewed President Biden. And in that interview, Biden confirmed that there were 10 to 15,000 Americans still in Afghanistan on August the 16th or August the 18th, I believe it was. Suddenly today, we heard from Anthony Blinken that they had gotten 4,500 Americans out and there are 1,500 left. Well, those numbers don't sync up at all. Then after that ridiculous statement was made, there was a correction, an attempt to backpedal on that from the State Department, that there are maybe another 4,000 still there, Americans still there. We are pulling out now. Our troops are leaving from the air from Hamid Karzai Airport in Kabul now. We are leaving Americans behind. We are Americans. We don't leave people behind. It is tragic to watch the children who are being infants and babies and toddlers being handed up by their parents over the wire fencing, trying to get them out. I also watched children whose parents left them there. The parents got out, and a little boy and a little girl were left on the wrong side of the gate. The gates are now closed. No one else is getting out. And so the people who are there, and the at least 4,000, and probably more like 8,000 or 9,000 Americans, maybe 6,000 Americans, 6,000 Americans who are still there, they have been abandoned, they have been trapped. They will be either hostages or they will be killed. None of them want to stay in Afghanistan. Nobody in their right mind would want to stay in Afghanistan who had ever lived free, because the Taliban speak for themselves in what they do. Past behavior is, in this instance, indicative of future behavior. They aren't shy or backing away from their intent to rule under strict Sharia. And we all know what that is. Homosexuals will be killed. Women will be enslaved and used as baby-making machines. People who worked for us and helped us over the last 20 years will be killed, will be slaughtered, will be beheaded. This is all coming. And how in the world this administration can call this the greatest airlift in history? It is, in fact, the greatest surrender in American history. It is a disgrace, and not just militarily. Is it a disgrace as human beings that we are silent, that we sit in our homes and watch Netflix and go to the supermarket and do the things we've done every day before this nightmare began a week or so ago? And by the way, and I know it began 20 years ago, but I'm not talking about what we did in Afghanistan. I'm talking about how we're leaving Afghanistan with our tail between our legs, abandoning Americans. Do you know what that means? It means that your American passport means nothing when you leave this country. You have no assurance that if in a foreign country something happens to you, the United States government, certainly under a Democratic administration, certainly under the Biden administration in particular, will come and get you, will come and help you, or will give a damn about you. I have never been so angry. I have never been so ashamed of being an American in the sense of our perception around the world. I know there are good Americans. I know that private entities are over there trying to rescue people. I know that the radio host Glenn Beck flew there last night after raising $30 million and 20 private planes, and they are sitting on a tarmac because they can't get our State Department to give them permission to take off and go to third countries that want them, that have agreed to take the Christians that Beck's organization, the Nazarene Fund, have been able to get to the airport before the gates closed. Why do they need the State Department permission if third parties are willing to take them? And the answer is, third parties will not do anything to upset the State Department of the United States. And so before they will allow those planes to land so that they can then temporarily house the people and move them on to more permanent situations around the world, they need permission from the United States government that those planes can in fact take off. And our State Department is so corrupt and so inept and so insensitive and so inhuman that they aren't giving those planes permission. Or if they are, they are dragging their feet to the point that thousands of Americans are now, against their will, including 25 or 30 students from California who are at American University who could not get from the university to the airport. What is wrong with us? What is wrong with us? This is no different than the news that came out of Nazi Germany that they were putting people on trains and taking them to camps, and the world waited and the world watched until millions were dead. Well, I don't know about millions, but I can tell you in the short run, thousands, if not tens of thousands, will be dead in Afghanistan within the next month, 2 months, 3 months, and that blood is on all of our hands, because we should be in front of the White House, in front of Washington, D.C., in front of the Congress by the millions. We should be on their phones. We should be on the fax machines. We should be on Twitter. We should be on Facebook. We should be physically standing in front of the White House gates demanding that this shameful dereliction of duty by what seemingly was a senile president and now just looks like an evil one, be changed to do what is right for humanity. I'm sorry if you just listened to a 14-minute rant of a very upset, very angry, and very frustrated American. I have kept myself the prize of the facts. I have kept myself aware of the situation. I have thought for myself, which is what I always encourage you to do. and the conclusions that I have come to as an attorney, looking at the facts, as a person who has taken the news in from multiple perspectives, and as a human being, the conclusion I have come to is the conclusion I just shared with you for the last 15 minutes. Please think for yourself and then do something. I'm Carol Gold. Thank you for listening. I hope that when I'm back here again on Friday, the picture looks very different.
Carol thanks you for spending your valuable time with her. It is her mission to empower you to remember how smart and capable you are. Be sure to check out Carol's website, carolgold.com. That's Carol with an E, gold.com. Please leave a review and subscribe here so you'll be alerted to Carol's next podcast. Until then, above all else, remember, it's time to think for yourself.